This is Phil Pritchett. Welcome to the P2 Podcast.
There's never been a better time than right now to be a musician.
Jenny hit Austin.
My name's Phil, and I just want to play rock and roll, man.
Tougher than the rest.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you across this great land of ours, across this great planet Earth, in beautiful high-definition audio, or something quite like it. From Trinidad World Recording Studios, my studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, where the old guitars hang on the walls just beckoning to be plucked from their perch and strummed on some great record you're recording here in Trinidad with P2 producing. How you doing there, everybody? Oh, we have a great show for you here this week, folks. So exciting, so exciting. Are you like me? Are you just loving the fall, the cooler weather, the holidays, Halloween? Oh, man, Thanksgiving coming up. These are the things we stay alive for. Or at least I do anyway. Oh, man. If it's like under 70 degrees in my home, I build a roaring fire. That's how, you know, you heard those old stories about Richard Nixon, President Nixon. He'd get in the, you know, he was an old, it was Pennsylvania, wasn't he? Pennsylvania guy. Yes, he would, he was known to fix him a nice stiff scotch, tumbler of scotch. He'd go into the White House parlor there, and he'd turn on the air conditioner, like turn it all the way down so it was just ice cold in the room. Then he'd build a huge fire, and he'd sit there and look at the fire and think, I'm kind of that way. I'm kind of that way when it comes to fire. Good way to think, good way to be. You know, I love drinking tea, wine, beer, anything like that. Looking at a fire, taking it all in. Loving it. Hope you are too. Welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining us here on the podcast this week. Oh, man, we got a great show here for you. You know what we got in our next segment here? Rumor has it that, yes, he is going to be back. Blake Walker, my old road manager. Walker, Texas road manager. You no doubt are still talking amongst yourselves out there after last week's broadcast as he opined from out of nowhere. We were going to get in some sports talk last week, some local sports talk. God, we had the got just a cowboy disaster up here, Dallas Cowboys. Rangers win the World Series. We're going to talk about that stuff. Somehow we got sidetracked, as can happen, and as this show allows, so freely. We got sidetracked as he delved into just, you know, talking about the Billy Ray Cyrus divorce, Miley Cyrus's mom cheating with Bret Michaels. Then we spun off on a whole poison rant about how Bret Michaels has milked this one-song hairband deal for all it's worth. And doing a good job, still out there finding ways to get paid for writing Every Rose Has Its Thorn. If you did write it, I don't know, but... Oh, man. So we talked about that a little bit. Talked about our old friend Charlie Sheen running into trouble out there. Trouble, you know, up there with the cocaine and the hookers at the Plaza Hotel in New York. Oh, like Blake Walker said, he goes, man, that guy will never get it together. You know, I when the new Wall Street movie came out, you've seen the new, you know, Wall Street, I think it kind of came and went, as all movies do these days. The new Wall Street movie came out. Wall Street, the original Wall Street, of course, Michael Douglas, Charlie Sheen, Martin Sheen, Oliver Stone film. God, what year was that? 80-something. The era of greed. I remember, see, I was young when that movie came out. I kind of watched it. I was like, it's okay, you know, whatever. I wasn't too into it. But the older I've gotten, you know, just the more I've learned a little bit about, I don't know, how the world works. And I'm certainly no financial whiz, but, you know, when I see Wall Street on cable or something, just flipping around, I'll sit there and watch it. I'm always kind of mesmerized by it. I think it still speaks a lot to American culture, even here, you know, 20 years later, whatever, however long it's been. So anyway, I put it on my Netflix. Well, man, long wait, they say. Long wait. So I figured, well, everybody's waiting for Wall Street. Got the sequel, you know, Wall Street coming out. So everyone's trying to refresh their memory with the old Wall Street. So I waited and waited and waited. And, you know, so I finally got it last week. So we're getting ready to watch it. Me and my wife the other night, and it occurred to me that there's a couple scenes in that film, you know, acting, Charlie Sheen, acting, just portraying a character on screen who is verbally abusive, you know, slapping women around, doing cocaine. I'm kind of like, man, this movie was 20 years ago, and this is acting. It's a chicken or the egg deal. You wonder if he was already like that back then. I'm sure he was. But I'm watching this scene, you know, there's a scene where he's just screaming at Daryl Hannah and drunk and throwing stuff against the wall. I'm kind of like, man, this could have been last week in real life for Charlie Sheen. Oh, well, we wish him well. We wish a hurt on no one on this show. Good luck in your future endeavors, Charlie Sheen, wherever you may go. Man, has this show just dropped off into oblivion? Listen to all this celebrity news. What is this, TMZ or something? Gosh, it's so oppressive, the celebrity culture. Blake Walker brought it in here the other day. But this week, I'm going to force him, man. He's going to get in here. After rummaging through my refrigerator out there looking for leftover food and maybe grabbing some Diet Cokes or something, I don't know what he's going to be doing. But we're going to talk. We're really going to get in some rain. Because I think he went to a World Series game. I think he did. But he went to the World Series. I know he's got opinions on you know, Jerry Jones and Jerry World, the new stadium up here in Dallas. So we are going to get into that long-promised talk about, you know, some Texas sports here for you. The hated Cowboys or the loved Cowboys, depending on what side of the fence you're on out there. So stay tuned for that. Walker, Texas Road Manager, second segment. Oh, and in the vault, man, we're going to... now, this was another band that Kurt South... You remember Kurt South, right? Didactic, dark... Negative, hilarious. He used to be on the podcast here. Kick this podcast off. The show has just never been the same without him, quite frankly. It's changed. Its focus has shifted slightly. Maybe not as dark and insightful and didactic as it maybe was. Man, I'm already rigging up the Skype, man. Rigging up the Skype so we can get South broadcast onto the show here in the coming weeks. So look forward to that. We're working on it. But, Kurt South would not have dared. We did Joni Mitchell last week in the vault. Kurt South hit the floor with a thud. Guy hates Joni Mitchell, so he wouldn't have let that happen in his tenure here on the podcast. Nor would he have allowed this band in the vault. And we're going to just, you know, push the envelope of all of our country listeners out there. God love you all. But we're going to talk about a great Texas band out of Austin that a lot of people know, or you should know more about, Spoon, the great band Spoon from Austin, Texas. We're going to listen to some of their stuff in the vault and talk about how they've managed just to have a long career. Man, those guys were around like in 92, I think, 93, when I was living in Austin. And Spoon was, you know, just playing the hole in the wall. I think we might have played some shows with them. They opened up for them. There's another kind of alt-y, you know, I don't know, band down there. But, man, all these years later, man, they've really had a lot of success. I had a lot of songs in, you know, commercials and stuff, and Austin City Limits, and tour around. You see stuff all over YouTube, them playing all different kinds of stuff. And, man, I've become just a huge fan of their records. They take a lot of time making them, and they're very interesting. So we're going to talk about Spoon and the Vault and so much more. So stay tuned for that. I don't know if Walker's going to stick around for the Vault. He has places to go. We'll see what he does. Oh, man, had a great show in Corpus Christi last week. Thank you, Corpus Christi. The Surf Club. We hadn't played the Surf Club, Executive Surf Club, in quite some time. Manny books the Executive Surf Club, manages the Surf Club. So he brought us in there, man. We had a great show. Great weather out there at the Surf Club. Thanks, all you folks, for coming out and making it, man, one of the best shows we've had this year, I think. It was just so much fun. Fantastic. Did you know we now have the domain? Are you ready for this? P2podcast.com. P2podcast.com. So if someone says, hey, man, I want to hear Phil's podcast, you're like, well, you go to the RSS feed on philpritchard.com. It's a different looking page. We are integrating it, folks. We're bringing it all together. You can just go, man, just go to P2podcast.com. We're still kind of working on the graphics and stuff, but it's a great looking page. And, man, every episode of the podcast is just listed there with a little player under it. You just hit the arrow. It just starts playing. The description is there. Very easy. So easy my mom can go listen to these things. That's how easy it is. We're trying to make it easy for everybody just to go to the site, check it out. So check out p2podcast.com. Maybe go down and refresh your memory or think, oh, yeah, I never heard that one. Or what? I didn't hear him talk about that album. Or I didn't hear him bring that guy in. All good stuff. So check out the new p2podcast.com. It's out there for you, folks. We put it all out there for you. Oh, man. Well, thanks for downloading that Blueprint Garage Volume 3, Dirty South, making the rounds. Oh, man, I wake up in Corpus the other day. Are you like me with this daylight savings time? Are we on daylight savings? Or are we off daylight savings? We're off now. We're back on just regular time, right? God's time. Oh, man. You know, I got a baby now. You know, we got a baby in the house. He's 6 months old. And we got a 2-year-old as well. Chaos reigns supreme at the Pritchard House. No, no, no. They're all great kids. Harsh discipline is what I apply. Not really, but they're all good kids. They sleep well. But, you know, those young kids, man, you want to get them in bed at night. I want a little time to myself in the evening. So, you know, if the baby's just kind of groggy going down at 5:30, you just put him in bed and let the boy sleep, for crying out loud. So we put him in there. Well, you know, I mean, man, you're good. You're doing awesome if you're going to get 10, 12 hours sleep from a baby. But, man, you know, his bedtime fluctuates a little bit, you know, around evening. So we've had this streak here where he's been waking up at, like, you know, 5:45 in the morning, 6 in the morning, which you're kind of like, ah, that's not too bad. That's not too bad. Well, man, boom, bam, atomic bomb with this freaking setting the clocks back. So all that means for Phil is he now, instead of waking up at 5 with the baby, I get to wake up at 4. So now I'm just roaming the house, drinking my coffee, reading my paper at like 4:45. Sometimes I'm up there before the paper even gets there. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of changing the clocks. I mean, what would happen? It's like my good friend David Graff says. David Graff is up there at Camp Blue Mountain Ranch. We talk about it all the time. Up there at Blue Mountain Ranch, he's kind of a philosopher in his own way. I said, you know, I joke all the time about how I don't believe in temperature. How I don't believe in temperature. You know, I'll say, man, you're in the sun, it's 90 degrees. You're in the shade, it's 70 degrees. But the weatherman says it was 78 degrees today. Like it's an absolute, like it's a scientific fact. And my question is always, hey, what do you mean it's 78 degrees? How can you say that? It depends on where you are, any set of circumstances as you move from inch to inch. I drive everyone crazy with this. My apologies, fans. My apologies, Romans, countrymen. But, you know, David Graff, we're talking about time changes and stuff. And David just goes, man, I don't believe in time, linear time. I'm like, you don't believe in time? What does that mean? I go, man, the sun rises at a certain time. It sets. I go, you would agree the earth spins around every 24 hours? He goes, not every 24 hours. it just spins. I'll tell you what, I haven't been the same since he said that. Yeah, what is an hour? How do we come up with 24 hours in a day? I don't know. My head's hurting. How am I getting into all this here in the first segment? Oh, man, so much to think about. Yeah, email me, phil@philpritchard.com. Do you believe in time and temperature? Let me know. Let me know. We'll do another segment on it at some point. Well, 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 what is that I hear? A rapping. A rapping at my chamber door. I do believe he has come unto us, folks. Fans, are you ready for him? Y'all, you loved his insight and his observations and opinions last week. Walker, Texas Ranger, Blake Walker. I think I've heard him out here scurrying around in the entry hall here, kind of going through our refrigerator out there, scurrying around. He's got a mustache. You see this? He grew a mustache. He came in here, you know, floored me last week with the mustache. He said he had a fantasy football. He lost a bet or something. That's the kind of thing in the guy world you don't even ask about. You just let it go. You let it go. Some guy comes in with a shaved head or a mustache or, you know, some weird looking beard. You're like, whoa, what's that? It's like, I lost a bet. You're just like, okay. And you let it go. You don't go, oh, really? What'd you bet? What'd you think? What happened? You don't ask. You just nod in admiration that he's fulfilling his obligation, holding up his end of the bargain. And that's how you do it. So I wish I had some details for you as to why Blake Walker has a neatly groomed, Beastie Boys Sabotage era mustache, but it looks good on him. So who knows? Maybe he'll have some answer for that when he gets in here in a few minutes. But we're going to get into some Ranger talk, some Cowboy talk, such disasters, such joy, such triumph. For all you looking for a little sports talk with Walker, all the time has come. He'll be in here. Blake Walker in our next segment. Stay tuned.
Run, 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 run.
Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It is Phil Pritchard here on the P2 Podcast, broadcasting to you from beautiful Trinidad World Recording Studios. My beautiful studio here in Fort Worth, Texas, on a cold, rainy day with my good friend. We know him. We love him. And you, the listeners, know him and love him as well. He is Walker, Texas Road Manager, my old road manager and good friend. Blake Walker is here on the podcast. How you doing, Walker?
Wonderful. Glad to be here.
Thanks for coming back this week, man. We cut off last week. Oh, man, great discussions talking about, God, all this celebrity news. The stuff that the podcast listeners want to know so much about.
If we call that news.
The trials of Bret Michaels and Charlie Sheen. Hey, enlightening your musical life. Does that fall into the enlightening your musical life category?
Not quite.
Boy, speaking of not enlightening your musical life, what about the world of sport? You watch sports a lot. Am I right, Walker?
You're right. That is correct.
Yeah, as so many of our listeners do, so many, and I do myself. Of course, I got kids now, but tough watching sports with the kids.
It's brutal.
I mean, if I think I'm going to sit down and just watch a three-hour game uninterrupted, I'm just like, dude.
No.
It's just on mute in the corner, and I'm refreshing myself with seventh grade algebra. Just kind of like that. You carry the one. Just like, he was down. Oh gosh, what dad? No, I'm sorry. But this is see, 1/4 is the same as 2/8. See how that works? It's like, that's a terrible call. I'm texting Ryan Lynch, just like, we're getting screwed left and right here. Dad, what are
exactly
you doing? Helping my homework. I'm just like, you're trying to juggle, you know?
Yeah. No, you never get to sit down and really soak it in.
No, you don't. You don't. And, you know, I used to play these sports bars, you know, and still do. God love them all. And I think to myself as I was packing up my gear and I look at the bar and all those guys, I'm kind of like, man, you know, who would ever come in here? I mean, when you can just sit at home and watch the game, who would ever come to some sports bar, some dingy place up in the strip mall? And I sit in my own house sometimes. Of course, I love my wife and kids, but it's so chaotic. And I look around, I'm like, man, this is why the sports bar was invented.
Yeah.
Where guys just sneak off and hide.
Yeah.
And but I resisted. I'm always better off at the house, I feel like.
This is true.
So what strikes you about of course, we had some exciting news here in the Metroplex with our Texas Rangers going all over the World Series.
Was it not unbelievable?
Just a magical year.
Oh, what a run.
Totally unforeseen.
Yes, yes.
And someone made a good point on the radio this morning that it will never be magical again. If we get back to the first time is always
right.
The best.
You got to win it if you go back.
Now, if we got for a good first round, got to get through this and try to get the ALCS. Then if we don't win that, it's like, God, I was on a pitching stay. Everybody's upset, you know.
No, I can see that.
You're in a tough spot.
But the greatest part about the whole run, the World Series is awesome, you know, and I actually went to game 3 and 4.
Oh, did you really? I didn't know you went to
anywhere. I got really lucky, or not so lucky, but... the best part was beating the Yankees. And that was my favorite thing is beating the, you know, overpaid, you know, the A-Rod and Teixeira and Jeter and just watching.
All former Rangers that we overpaid.
Yeah, watching those guys hang their head in shame as they got beat by a team. Our entire payroll is like $50 million, you know.
Yeah,
it's one third of what their payroll is. It was awesome to take down the Goliath of baseball.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was
fun.
The best way to do it.
It was almost hard for me as a fan to get up for the World Series.
Yeah.
Like the Giants, the stinking Giants. Who are the Giants? Who's on the Giants? Like, oh, a bunch of hardworking guys. And kind of like, all right, let's kill them. It was hard to garner this hatred.
For
the Giants, they're kind of like, you know, kind of a likable bunch.
They had a really cool story, too.
A bunch of
ragtag guys that were all, you know, bounced around teams, came together, had some. They got hot, had some phenomenal pitching.
Oh, the pitching was
unreal. You know, they beat us down.
Yeah,
you know,
they did.
We won one
did.
Game. They really hurt us. They put it to us. They had great pitching. And
I think that was the Rangers all season, and then especially when we played the Rays in the division series, then we played the Yankees in the LCS. We were the underdog. We were the scrappy guys no one knew much about. Who are these little guys scrapping around, winning the games? But when we got to the Giants, lo and behold, We were now the favorite. Everyone goes, man, the Texans got the big bats. They got Cliff Lee. They're going to steamroll over the Giants. I'm like, all of a sudden, we're not the underdog.
Yeah.
And I think we had a hard time maybe playing from ahead, playing the role of the favorite.
Yeah.
Don't you think a little bit?
Absolutely.
Maybe it robbed us of our edge as kind of the scrappy guys that no one expects much from.
Yeah, I think we almost just gave everything in the New York series.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like everything was firing on point. We had, you know, the bats were swinging. The pitching was great. You know, it seems like we just kind of blew all our steam off in the Yankees series, and that was kind of the end of us. Which, hey, I enjoyed it. I loved it.
Yeah.
My old buddy Mike Arnold moved to Kansas City.
Mike,
he has
sold you all a lot of Phil Pritchett and the Full Band merchandise over the years.
Yes.
at the Green Room and at the Gypsy Tea Room.
He ended up moving to Kansas City, and he's the biggest Ranger fan ever. And
love you, Mike.
He calls me. He's like, we're going. I don't care what it costs. Credit card, we're going.
No.
So I started looking for tickets for Game 3, man.
Yeah.
And, dude, there wasn't anything cheaper than $500.
Ooh, that's like standing room, right?
And that's what I said, look, dude, I can't. I got a kid. I got all sorts of problems.
Yeah.
I was like, look, you put it on your credit card, and I will pay you back. That's the only way we can do this.
It might take me 10 years.
That's what I told him. I said, I'll give you I'll give you $50 a month for the rest of my life, but that's the only way we're going.
And that's the only way this deal's going
to
happen.
To Superfan's credit, he said, we're doing it. And so he put it on the credit card.
Mike Arnold came through.
My cousin Ben, you know, had been in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
He's in Washington now. And he called me and said the same thing. Have to go. Don't care what it costs. Blah, blah. So the three of us went. And I'll be 100% honest with you. And I'm a big college football guy. And of course, College Station is a great place to see a home game.
Right.
It was electric, like a college football
game. Yeah, yeah.
Game 3.
Right.
Game 4 sucked and was not worth a dime. But Game 3 was unbelievable. We set standing room only.
Yeah.
And let me tell you this, just in case, and cross your fingers, if there's ever another World Series or another championship series, what you do is you get on StubHub about 2 hours before the game.
Someone's dumping.
And you can buy the standing room only for like $200 a pop
mm-hmm.
right before the game. And section 112
mm-hmm.
is where we kind of we ask some ushers what's great.
Now where is that? Is that on the right field porch? Or
it is right by
the ballpark in Arlington.
It's on the third base line.
Okay,
and it's in between home and third base.
Uh-huh.
And there's standing room onlys all over the place. It's
mm-hmm.
everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
But you just got to kind of sneak to an area that you want to stand from
mm-hmm.
and be the first ones there, and you're right up on the rail.
Okay.
And so we kind of went to 112, and we got there, and there wasn't hardly anyone there. And because you can go all over the place for standing room only.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we snuck off to. We had a little trash can as our bar. We put our drinks on there and peanuts, and we had a blast.
Yeah, that's great.
And the Rangers got up, and, man, it was electric. It was just like a college football game.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to be a part of that.
That's great, man. Good stuff. The World Series comes to DFW, man.
Oh.
Very excited. That's just a hard thing to believe.
Yeah.
Well, right there next door to the Rangers, we have
But the turd on the turnpike.
The turd on the turnpike. Jerry World. You know what bothers me about, before we get into the Cowboys here a little bit, it bothers me tremendously that they never open the roof during a game.
Yeah, even when the weather.
What is the problem?
When the weather's great.
Because I've seen it, you know, the first couple games, it's all domed up, and they can open up the end zones.
Yeah.
As well. It can be like a whole open stadium.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, and so the first few games was all domed up, and man, it's just got this kind of just wrong first down. It's just got that dome feel that I hate. Oh, I hate it. Give me Lambeau, I say. Always outside football or baseball, anything in a dome stinks. At the game or at TV. So I'm like, well, it was like in September. It's 95 degrees. They don't want to be out there. I understand. The other day though, when we got our butts kicked by the Jaguars at home again. It was like 72 degrees, noon Sunday, the sun was shining. I'm like, how come you don't open it up, man? At least have some fresh air moving through there, some, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's weird.
How come they never do? I never understand it.
The weather was great.
Do you think the coaches don't want it open?
I have no idea what that story is, and it's way more expensive to
Because I don't hear anybody, we listen to a lot of talk radio around here, I don't hear anyone voicing this sort of discontent. With the stadium. I don't hear anybody bitching about it not being opened up.
I heard a little flack on the ticket about it.
Really?
The weather's great, but they won't open it. It's got to have something to do with the design that if you open the roof and the sides, that the certain areas that still have to be AC'd to control the temp, otherwise it gets too hot there.
I see.
And it's probably, if you're going to run the AC and charge this huge bill, I'm sure Jerry'd rather just keep it closed, have it all cool, than pump AC into the outside
the
air.
Stratosphere.
I mean, I don't know what the story is. I just know that I went to the...
It just bugs me, man.
I went to the A&M Arkansas game, and they opened the sides, but mm-hmm. not the roof. It was kind of a weird deal.
That's kind of
weird.
They
had the
two
ends open, and you could walk back and forth. But there was still...
Was there any breeze, any air?
There's a little breeze.
That's good. Okay.
But it sits below grade. I mean, it's below... Like, if you're walking outside, once you actually get inside, you're going down to sit down. You're walking down for the first deck there. So it's kind of... The breeze will kind of come over that. It doesn't actually hit you right where you're sitting. And I was kind of sitting at the top of the first deck on the end. So you do get a little bit of a breeze, but there's not much.
Yeah. Well, it just bothers me they spend all this money on the... Stadium. I know the old Texas Stadium was quirky with the hole in the roof and stuff. You've probably seen the pictures of me and the full band.
Those are great.
On our on our website of me under the roof when we played the gig there at Texas Stadium. Fun times. But, you know, the sun coming through there was always awkward and it was hot and stuff. But, man, it was still a unique setting.
Yeah.
The open roof and all that kind of stuff so God can watch his team play. And all that kind of mystique was there. And that's just... And they kind of built this new stadium like, oh, it'll kind of be the same way. We're going to open it up. But now they never open it, and it's never – it's just something completely different that I don't recognize and don't
I think the worst part about it, and a lot of people probably disagree with me, but the gigantic TV.
Yeah.
The Jumbotron.
Well, that's the big feature.
I had the first time A&M Arkansas played there last year.
Was that your first time to ever go there?
It's first time. Well,
see, I've never been inside.
I actually the first time I ever went was actually to see Irving MacArthur play Colleyville. The Kirk Herbstreit does his classic. They'll play like five high school games there.
And it's Kirk Herbstreit, the ESPN analyst,
old Ohio State quarterback.
Yeah, right? I think so. Yeah, that's right.
He does a deal where they'll play like three or four games on like Labor Day or Memorial Day or something. There's like a Monday.
In a big stadium?
Yeah, they'll play three high school games back to back to back. And we had a good friend coaching for Irving MacArthur, still does, their defensive coordinator.
So, man, you can get in, see the stadium, yeah. You know, walk
you pay
around.
Pay $7. Yeah. You okay. Go wherever, see the stadium. So I went into that, and that was fun, saw it. And then I went to the A&M Arkansas game, and I had probably the best seats I've ever had in college football, somewhere between the, like, a 20th row, 50-yard line. Great mm-hmm. seats.
Yeah.
So you can see all the action. You can see the whole game, but you cannot stop your eyes from going straight up to the Jumbotron. I'm literally watching the football game and cannot stop from looking at the HD screen,
yeah.
And it's just like I was at home. There was no benefit
it's
of
weird.
Being there. It's weird. You can't stop yourself because it's so big.
It is.
It's just ginormous. It's
yeah,
right
it
there
just,
in the middle.
It dwarfs any action on the
yeah,
field.
Yeah, and you end up just looking at that the whole time.
And you know, it's funny when I'm watching a game that's in the new Cowboy Stadium, and they show the sidelines, the players, like, you know, Andy Reid of the Eagles, can't believe it. They're all, you're looking at their neck. They're all looking
they're
straight
looking
up
the
in
TV.
The air. It's the weirdest thing. It I remember kinda, when it, the, was the OU BYU game one of the first ones there? Or was that the second year
yeah,
of the stadium?
When was,
Bradford went out.
That was
you know.
Last year. That was the first college football game played there, right? And Bradford got hurt right at the beginning.
And I remember watching that game on TV. And so they were saying, man, the OU coaches. And every time they show the sideline, everyone's just
looking,
everyone's
straight,
looking
up.
Straight up in the air. And you're like, what are they looking at? Like, oh, they're all watching TV. They're not watching the – it's just – I don't know, man. I understand what Jerry was doing. It is awe-inspiring, huge – it's a eighth wonder of the world. Man, I don't know, though,
it
man.
Takes
I don't
away.
Know. It's just funny looking to me on TV. It looks weird. It sounds weird. When they show people in the crowd or they show the sidelines, they're all looking up. And it's just – it's got a weird vibe. And the Cowboys haven't played well there.
No, it takes away from the game. It really does. It distracts you from enjoying live football.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a weird deal. And like I said, a lot of people probably disagree with me, but I've got some kids that I know that play ninth grade football that mm-hmm. I was on a little mission trip with, and I've been keeping up with them. And there's something really fun about going and see right up close the pads, the hits, you know, just
yeah,
some
sure.
high school football where it's
right.
not this big spectacle. You're not looking at a Jumbotron. You're not paying a bunch for the seat. I mean, you pay $5 or $2, whatever you get in, mm-hmm. and it's real football. You're right up next to the action, and it's fun. And I think the new the Death Star kind of takes away from that.
The Death Man, I wonder how they're good. Of course, when it first opened, it was a big deal. They sold a bunch of tickets, and the Cowboys were good and stuff. Man, here we are sitting in a losing situation.
Wait till they start
Cowboys.
Selling those seats next year.
Well, what are they – what – and people who already have season tickets – for Jacksonville game, people were calling me. Hey man, you want tickets to the game? I didn't even want to go. I was
nope.
just like, no. I mean, free. I don't have to buy them. They just go, man, we got two extra tickets. We're not going.
Yeah.
And they said that thing was only about 70% full.
I can't imagine what it was like in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Well, nobody I mean, there. It's just it. Man, you're just so leveraged on that. I mean, I wonder how are they gonna sell the seats for that thing.
Jerry's done a wonderful tough. Job of screwing the fan over. One, by being our GM. He's the worst GM in the NFL. He is not a football guy.
Listen to this.
He is,
listen to this, folks.
We have made some
Phil Pritchett and Blake Walker here on the P2 podcast. Go on, Walker.
We've had more than a decade of bad football and, uh-huh. and bad draft after bad draft, and Jerry's at the helm of all
yeah.
of that. You know, just terrible coaching. He picks these, you know, puppet guys, and it's awful. And on top of all that, the guy lets the old stadium go to hell in a handbasket on
yeah.
purpose
mm-hmm.
to help support the new stadium. I mean,
right.
that thing, he let that thing go to crap. I
right.
mean, the restrooms were all overflowing and they didn't ever fix the ceiling. It was just terrible. And he does
yeah.
all that to build the new one. And then he builds the new one and there's nothing anyone can afford there. There's nobody like me with a kid at home and a wife and trying to make ends meet that can afford season tickets.
Yeah.
And I don't want to go sit in nosebleeds. So somebody gives me free tickets, sure, I'll go. But guess what? They better give you a parking pass too. It's $50 to park in any tailgating
and
spot.
More than that and some other.
Yeah.
Let's hire it
so
and closer in.
You're going to drop a bunch of money on parking. Then once you get inside, you better eat before you go because everything in there has some stupid name so they can jack up the price. You know, it's the Red Steer Burger or whatever so they can charge $12.50.
Yeah.
It's just a freaking hamburger.
Yeah.
But it's the Red Steer Burger and it's at Texas Stadium so it's $12.50, you know. And the bottled water was more than $5 when I was there. I was just like, dude, really?
Yeah.
Like I can't buy anything. Like I had a $5 bill in my pocket and the guy next to me goes, hey, I'm going to go get something. I hand him the $5 and he goes, yeah, you can't get anything with that. And I just looked at it like,
give me your credit card.
Dude, I'll walk yeah. to Sonic. Like, this is terrible. Like, Jerry's done a great job of trying to make money off the fans, which is, it's awful.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you know, you look at an old decrepit stadium like Lambeau Field or Soldier Field. Now, they've renovated those things. They've added some boxes and things like that. But, man, they keep their history. They keep, there's still a lore. But
yeah.
once you tear that stadium down, that first one, then you got to build a new stadium every 5 or 6 years because, I mean, this thing out here we got now, Jerry World, it's going to have no sentimental value to anybody in 10 years. So what are we going to do? Are we going to just tear it down and build one next to it?
Yeah.
We're not going to keep it there like, man, this is a house of champions that must be preserved. You know?
Yeah.
Now, we could have maybe done that with the old Texas Stadium. Before you tore it down, you could have said, man, let's raise the roof on it and put some boxes way up high, renovate it. But you know what? We've had this place since 1972 or whenever it started.
Yeah.
It's a house of champions where we won all of our Super Bowls. You know, Staubach, Aikman, they've all played here. We're keeping – I think if Jerry truly wanted to be loved by the Cowboy fan, he would have just renovated Texas Stadium, made it nicer, made it cooler, but just said, man, the hole in the roof, God watches his team play. And you know what? We'd have built a statue of Jerry out in front with Tom Landry. Ugh. But now that he's torn it down and just built this thing, it's just like, well – oh, well.
He's a curse.
It's all gone. It just wiped it off the face of the earth.
Jerry's an unbelievable curse. I only hope that his son has enough sense to step away and get a real GM, and Jerry retires or dies before we just have another 10 years of just crap football and Bobby Carpenters and Julius Jones.
Oh, Walker.
It's awful.
Walker, Texas road manager. Can you come back next week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because I want to get to some more sports talk. We got more, even more sports talk than that with Blake Walker, Texas road manager. Thanks for being here this week, Walker. Opining on Jerry World out here and our beloved Texas Rangers. Some exciting sports stuff going on. We're coming up in the vault here. I'm gonna blindfold myself, stagger over to the rack of vinyl records. We'll see what I come up with. Stick around. Next. Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. It's your old friend Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast from Trinidad World Recording Studios. Love having you here today, folks. Love it. Thrilled to be with you. Delighted as always. How about that Blake Walker, huh? Does he have some opinions, some insight in all things music, history, sports? Gosh, just throwing out Audie Murphy last week. You know, talking about Jerry and the Rangers and the Cowboys. All fun stuff. Man, I just relish a conversation with him any day. He just lightens the room. There's been many times the band and I have been at a gig. Just kind of like, oh, man, who's coming tonight? I don't know. What time we going on? I don't know. Gee whiz, gee whiz. Also, the door bust. Oh, here comes Blake Walker, man, just with a huge dip in. Just working the room, spewing BS left and right, talking about the Ags, talking about how tonight's going to be a night to remember. Love it, man. Always good to have around. Thanks for coming in, Blake. Thank you. Well, 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 I was in Ralph's Records in Lubbock, Texas. Is it still there? Is it still there? Lubbock, email me. Let me know what's going on out there. Gosh, I doubt it. It was kind of an older record shop there. Not far from campus there at Texas Tech. Had CDs, compact discs, but also had a lot of vinyl, so we'd always go in there. And, man, I was in there. Our old man Jason Stolle, you remember the old... my previous drummer for the full band for so many years, Jason Stolle, the great Jason Stolle. He was on the podcast, a podcast-owned Jason Stolle. Man, he had I think he had Spoon, Girls Can Tell, this record we're going to look at. Girls Can Tell by Spoon. We listened to it a little bit in the van. I remember thinking, like, man, it just sounds really cool. It's got this good, thick sound, a lot of cool stuff going on. So I was aware of Spoon, and I remembered him from my Austin days, playing all over Austin, playing clubs and stuff, and I'd realized I'd become cognizant that they've had some success. I think they're on a label called Matador out of North Carolina, I think, over there in the east somewhere. But a good indie label. Man, they managed to start getting their stuff out. They did a great record called Kill the Moonlight. And then I think the next record was this record called Girls Can Tell. Great pop record. That's Everything Hits at Once. We kicked it off here at the top of this segment. But Spoon, man, so I came across in the used rack, actually, which was kind of surprising. In the used rack, Spoon on vinyl, Girls Can Tell. I was just so impressed that they had vinyl albums. I didn't realize yet that they were a, you know, like a real analog, vinyl-centric kind of band. You know, I just knew them as, oh, I don't know, they just make CDs, and that's it, like everybody else. But no, here it is, Spoon on vinyl. So yeah, this is where I got my copy of Girls Can Tell. Listen to it. So this is the vinyl version you're listening to right here. A few pops in there, you know, scratches, but it all sounds good. Yeah, Britt Daniel, man, I love the way the guy sings. He's the lead guy, and love the voice. We'll talk a little more about their approach here. There's some good stuff online, too, I've seen with Spoon. SpoonTheBand.com, I think, is the website. But there's all kinds of cool stuff. They have their own studio. The drummer has a really nice studio there in Austin, so they're always recording. One of these bands always kind of got their own thing going on, recording and trying stuff out. Just a band after my own heart. I do the same, what can I say? But check out this next song. You remember Alex Whedon a couple days ago, Miranda Lambert's guitar player, my old friend. Man, I remember being on stage with him in Austin one time, and he started playing the opening riff for this next song, The Fitted Shirt, maybe the coolest Spoon song ever that I love. And he started playing this lead-in lick, and I was like, dude, Spoon. He's like, oh, man, that song's so great. So here it is, the original Spoon version from Girls Can Tell. This is The Fitted Shirt. That's rock and roll, dude. Man, that could be a lick for like AC/DC or something. I mean, it's just so memorable. Spoon got together in the early 90s, made their own eclectic music. You know what astounds me about Spoon and about a lot of the great bands is I think of them as this altsy band, this freaky band, you know, is always trying to do weird stuff. Like, oh, they're kind of weird, you know, but I like them. But, man, you just start really listening to their music and watching them play, you know, like on Austin City Limits. I've seen them on there several times. Or, hey, man, they got a small drum kit, acoustic guitar. Now, a lot of times Britt Daniel plays acoustic guitar through an amp or something or use some effects. He does do that a lot. But listen to the arrangements, man, are so minimalistic. I mean, they're just a piano just hitting one chord, just gang, 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 you know, and just the guitar will just be kind of going, just kind of chugging on like one string. Then the piano will be just clanking away on one chord. The drum beat will just be very simple. So it's weird. You know, sometimes I'm struck by how complex their things are. They'll change up like time signatures and stuff like that. And, kind of freaky out, but in very subtle ways. It's not over the top freaky. You know, some of these bands, like always, like, man, our stuff's real experimental, you know, and it comes out. It's just almost this unlistenable. There's just stuff swirling around and effects and screaming and, you know, it just sometimes it can be a beating. The men, they're kind of experimental. But people talk about Spoon being kind of this cutting edge experimental band, which they certainly are. But I think it's a real testament to their musicianship and their talent that you really listen to the instruments and stuff. It's very simple, man. It's just singing, great little hooks and melodies, very simple guitar and bass and drums. They weren't really using a lot of different keyboards and things on this record. They have in their most recent stuff that I've heard, using a little more zany synths and some, you know, just different electric pianos and stuff like that. Man, definitely kind of a Beatle-ish band, I think. Very Beatle-ish. So a Beatle guy like me always digs this stuff, kind of grabs onto it. This is a little song here that I love. It's just got this wistful, you know, that little minstrel kind of just somber late night thing. This is 10:20 a.m. from Girls Can Tell, Spoon. Yeah. Just beautiful. Just beautiful, man. Golly. You know what? Like any great band, and please, ladies, gentlemen out there making music, making albums, putting songs together in some capacity, whether it's two or three songs together or 25 songs together, first of all, come do it at Trinidad World Recording. I'll help you do it. Love it. Love it. But also be mindful of just, you know, the arrangements of these songs. You know what I mean by that? Not so much just the chords and the changes and stuff like that, but just the overall feel of it, man. We don't want the same thing twice. You listen to a good Spoon album like this. All the songs they all start differently. They end differently. Some are fast, some are slow. Some are loud, some are quiet, some are, you got different feels to all of them. Each one's their own little chapter. And, gosh, so much of the music that I hear now out of the Texas music world is just, I mean, it's 15 songs and everyone starts with just some dude cranking on a G chord. You know what I mean? Which is cool. We all love it, man. But then, and you're like, okay, that's cool. Then the next song starts up. You're like, man, do we need to share this song? What is this? Same, man. And everybody, there's such a big deal on tempo. Like, we don't want to be too fast or too slow. You know, you don't listen to country radio, Texas country radio, and hear like a real funky kind of song and then a train beat song and then something really, really slow. I mean, those songs are out there. They get played, but I mean, gosh, more, there's just this mid-tempo thing that just kind of everybody does. You know, just kind of... Anyway, listen to some Spoon, man, for some guidance on that. Anything you want, Spoon.
If there's anything you want, come on back, 'cause it's all still here. Drinking my half of the beer, and if you earn me so right, why is it the same thing every night? It's just a matter of time. It's almost measurable. Imagination ain't kind on us.
Well, 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 fans, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. Phil Pritchett here on the P2 Podcast. We hope we have enlightened your musical life just a little bit today. And maybe even your sports life as well. That was a welcome break there with our good friend Blake Walker dropping by. Oh, he always texts me during these Cowboy games, during these Ranger games, during, you know, college football. Did you see this? Did you see this? Did you see this? You know, all of y'all's, so many of y'all's emails y'all write me at phil@philpritchett.com. Always has music stuff in there, and then it always says stuff like, man, I'm pulling for the Rangers, or, you know, I'm down here, the Astros are no good this year. So there's always stuff in there about sports. It's all just a part of everyone's life. So it's fun to tie it in occasionally here on the podcast. Love talking about it, talking about the Rangers. Thank you, Blake Walker, for coming in. Walker, Texas Road Manager, sharing his opinions with you so freely here on the P2 Podcast. Hey! Are you having a New Year's party? I'm putting the call out right now. New Year's Eve. Phil Pritchett and the full band are looking for a gig. Are you throwing a party? You having a party out at the ranch or at your house? You're thinking, ah, you know, we couldn't get Phil. He wouldn't want to do that. Garbage. Call me. 817-733-5256. Or for any other gig you got going on, email me, phil@philpritchett.com. Remember, Blueprint Garage Volume 3 is sitting there. Dirty South and other classics. Just for $4 on p2tunes.com, or as always on iTunes. Enjoy those pops and scratches on the vinyl here, folks. And we'll see you next week on the podcast, Much Tougher.